There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Let's go back live to the presser in Washington as the Assange question has come up.
He could have taken action at any point, and he hasn't. So let that speak for itself. He has no intent to do anything. See? Yeah.
Thanks, Sarah. Over the weekend, we saw some powerful images of children as well as adults who were affected by tear gas fired by U.S. officers along the U.S.-Mexico border. We heard the president talk about that at length yesterday, but one thing we did not hear from him was any expression really of regret that there were children cut off in this. So I was wondering, does the White House regret the fact that children were affected by tear gas and that this situation took place? And is there an investigation underway to prevent this from happening again?
Certainly, the White House would never want children to be in harm's way in any capacity whatsoever. However, that is why we are continuing to encourage people to follow the law and go to ports of entry. Law enforcement officials have used appropriate non-lethal force to protect themselves and prevent an illegal rush across the border. And let's also not forget that this isn't the first time that non-lethal force like this has been used. In fact, tear gas was used on average once a month during the Obama administration for very similar circumstances. In fact, they were actually for far less circumstances because they didn't have the same numbers in the mass rush that we're seeing in this caravan take place. Certainly, no one wants women or children or any individuals to have this happen, which is why we've encouraged them to actually follow the law and go to ports of entry.
The president and FDS. Is the White House ruling out any interaction between the president and the Saudi Crown Prince and his team in the equivalent of diplomatic timeout?
I wouldn't say that we've ruled out any interaction. I know that the president's schedule is pretty packed and has a number of sessions that he'll be involved in with the G20 as well as a number of bilats. I don't think there's any time for us to add anything additional, whether or not there's some interaction. I'm not going to rule that out, and we'll keep you guys posted as that happens tomorrow.
Thanks, Sarah. Yesterday in Mississippi at his rally, the president said he asked a question about Mike Espy. He said, how does he fit in with Mississippi? How does he fit in? I guess suggesting that he doesn't fit in. Mike Espy's great-grandparents were slaves in Mississippi. What did the president mean by that?
Due to the fact that that is an election that is taking place today, I'm not going to comment on anything that could affect anything taking place in Mississippi, and certainly happy to comment on that after today.
All right. I tell you what, we will pull away from that presser there as a couple of the questions that we had talked about last hour coming up here in the question of Assange and Manafort, also the question of what went on the border on Sunday, and checking in here to give us some more insight into this and for me to bounce some pretty good questions off of our buddy from AL.com, Cameron Smith, joining us. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, by the way, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
All right. Now we got that cleared up. I just wanted to, first of all, let's go. Can we go Manafort first in this question? I'm just a simple guy, man. If do they not have the Ring doorbell at the Ecuadorian embassy? If Manafort was there at least three times, according to this Guardian UK story, but there's no video, he didn't sign in, no record, but sources say he was there. His attorneys, or Manafort's attorneys, and people are saying he wasn't there. This has got to be simple to prove yes or no, right? Or not.
Yeah, one would think. WikiLeaks had just tweeted out a little while ago that the Guardian is now backpedaling on the story. These are the kind of things that, again, you should be able to confirm or not.
it's not like he was there and he felt this way or felt another way. I mean, if you're saying that somebody was there three different times at an embassy, it's not like they met down at the Starbucks, right? I mean, this is why, I mean, when I see stories like this, I said this last hour, somebody is lying here. I mean, somebody is straight up lying.
Oh, of course. I mean, you can't have, he was either there in meeting or not. I mean, those are your options. And so, you know, it's one of those things where we'll do our best to suss out the truth, but, you know, truth seems to be relative these days.
Of course it does. But I want to get, so what would be the purpose of bringing this, either if this is true or false? Let's say it is true, which like you said, they're backing off. I've had my questions since I saw this story from The Guardian first off. But what would be the allegation? 2013, I don't know that makes a hill of beans. Maybe it establishes a pattern. 2015, nah. But to say that Manafort is going there to the Ecuadorian embassy to meet with Assange is the allegation. Once again, y'all, we have a feeling that maybe there might be more backpedaling on this. But going there in 2016, what is it? Because it says, oh, this will be very interesting to Robert Mueller. Why?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is we're still in this land of, well, did you, I guess, lie to federal investigators is one thing. You know, did you say you didn't know something and you did? Meeting, for example, with Assange, talking to him, for example, I don't believe that's a crime. And I think that's where all of this stuff is kind of interesting, is because there's a lot of palace intrigue here of who met with whom, when, who talked to whom. What's more relevant here is, A, was the conduct in any way criminal, and B, was there a cover up? Was there something that was illegal in the cover up, which we see with obstruction of justice and that type of thing? And I think that's ultimately what's left to the Mueller investigation to figure out.
Okay, so the president, and you know, once again, there's interesting nuance on all sides of this, because there's the Guardian UK story and WikiLeaks tweeting that they may be Guardian UK backing off that story. But the president tweeting today, of course, I mean, it's a day that ends in Y. So President Trump tweeting, the phony witch hunt continues, but Mueller and his gang of angry Dems are only looking at one side, not the other. Wait until it comes out how horribly and viciously they are treating people, ruining lives for them, refusing to lie. Mueller is a conflicted prosecutor gone rogue. Then he goes on to tweet, the fake news media builds Bob Mueller up as a saint when in actuality he's the exact opposite. He's doing tremendous damage to our criminal justice system, where he is only looking at one side and not the other. Heroes will come of this, and it won't be Mueller, and it goes on. So who are the heroes on the other side of this, and it's Mueller gone, by definition, gone rogue on this?
Well, the interesting thing for me, again, is the president getting out there and just wearing out Mueller. The connection for me is what I mean, I don't understand why he just simply doesn't ignore this stuff. But again, it's a day that ends in Y, and he's out there tweeting about it. I see Trump trying to discredit the Mueller investigation, but I don't actually see him trying to end it. You know, I think that's something that people keep saying, particularly on the left, well, the Mueller investigation's in danger, this or that. I have not seen the president say, I'm going to stop it. He just simply says it's a witch hunt and it's pointless and expensive. And so I'd be interested to see how this shakes out in terms of, you know, is there any administrative action? My guess would be, as it has been in the past, no. We're going to see the president tweet. He's going to say he doesn't like it, and then that will be the end of it until the next time.
Okay. What is, from your time in Washington, knowing a lot more about this than I, is there an hourglass on this Mueller investigation? In other words, is there something in there when they have gotten to the end of it? I mean, is it just up to the discretion? Is it just subjective to Robert Mueller? Or are there certain benchmarks and things that are met or not met that you go, okay, we're finished?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, he's indicted a lot of people. I mean, this has not been sort of just a, hey, I'm just looking at paper or I'm talking to people. I mean, there have been ongoing indictments.
A lot of Russians and some Americans, but a lot of Russians.
Yeah, like 26 Russians, yeah. And the rest of them, you know, several of the sort of Trump staffers and campaign folks. It's one of those things where it's completed when it's completed. And I think Mueller is going to be thorough in his investigation and report. But I also think there's just the reality of people getting tired of it, that this has gone on for a while now. You know, the president obviously wants to see it wrapped up. And I think we're kind of in that point where a lot of folks who said, okay, we want Mueller to be able to investigate, we want the rule of law upheld and enforced, are kind of saying, well, we want that done, but we want it done in a reasonable time frame. And I know a lot of particularly Republicans who are very much for the rule of law, who are just kind of saying, okay, wrap it up already. It seems like that's where we are, but, you know, it's up to Mueller. There's no hourglass, as you put it, that forces him one way or another.
Yeah, you got to think, well, maybe he's beyond feeling the pressure from outside on, you know, hey, let's get something done. But I mean, they're still human beings, whether they're, you know, tasked with whatever. They've got to feel that there's pressure, not just from the president, but like you said, I think the American people are like, all right, you know, this can't go on forever.
Right, and I think that that's a natural aspect here. And frankly, it benefits the president the longer it goes on. The longer it goes on and just seems to drag, he can launch withering attacks on the investigation and just say, hey, look, you know, they're just still going on and on and on. And, you know, why don't you let people know what's going on? And obviously, Mueller to this point has been unfazed by all of that and continued his investigation, indicted folks where it made sense, and frankly, behaved like a prosecutor.
Well, coming right back, more with Cameron Smith from AL.com. We're going to talk about the border and what happened Sunday, what happens next time here, and is this going to be pressure on the legislative branch to move one way or another? And we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we return right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Talking with our buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com. One more Mueller question here before we go to the border. And when you have Mueller saying Manafort has lied since the plea deal, when you define lie, you know, I hate that we're in that place in life, but when you define lie, could it be almost a clerical lie or a semantic lie by Mueller? Like, oh, he was actually not at lunch that day on Tuesday. It was on a Wednesday. Or do you think it's something that he has, something that's of more merit to the case?
Well, I mean, I could use the Bill Clinton answer. It depends on what your definition of the word is. But I think what we're really talking about here is, you know, did you make a statement? And generally speaking, I mean, if it's something that can be clarified easily or there's a question as to what someone meant, I mean, I doubt it's playing ticky-tacky. We're looking for, did you make a material misrepresentation of fact? Did you say something that was, you know, you said one thing and we found evidence that that was not a true statement? It's that kind of thing. And it appears, and the sort of speculation that's interesting is that, you know, the only reason Manafort would have done that and done those things is if he was defending on a pardon from the president. I don't know about that. I mean, I think that these are decisions people have to make in pretty high stress situations, and whether he lied or not is a question for the courts to sort of suss out and see whether he did violate that deal or not.
All right, next we go to the border, and you might have heard a little bit of the end of the press conference there. Sarah Sanders pointing out that tear gas had been used, I don't know, X number of times against people on the border during the Obama administration, comparing and contrasting. Why all the hubbub about defending the border now?
Well, I mean, this is the latest sort of media circus around immigration. I have long said, enforce the law. Enforce it consistently. If people are throwing rocks at you, or they're, you know, having a riot, I understand. I mean, the question that I found to be infuriating was this: does Trump feel bad about, you know, children being hit with tear gas? Well, yeah, I don't think that any president, Trump included, would want to, you know, have children in harm's way, but children are a part of this caravan, and, you know, when they're trying to disperse a crowd through non-lethal mechanisms, that's the kind of thing that happens. It's tremendously unfortunate, but I think there's probably some of the double standard, but the bigger issue here is, as I've written, this is routine. The other than the media highlights and the fact that they're more, I guess, organized in this caravan, the Customs and Border Patrol has to deal with this stuff all the time. You know, hundreds of thousands of immigrants apprehended at the border. We do have an immigration problem. We do need to address the system. We do need to enforce the law consistently. And the idea that we should not enforce the law consistently, if we want to treat some people one way and other people another way, that's where we have the breakdown. That's where we have the problem, is when you have to justify why you're giving one group favorable treatment. I've said for a long time, we need the laws to be reformed. They need to be updated. We need a better system of immigration. But in enforcement, we need to enforce consistently, and that's the bottom line.
You know, and this harkens a little bit back to, oddly enough, another conversation we've had over time, and that was one when we did have Attorney General Jeff Sessions in office, and I told people, even people that were pro-marijuana legalization at a federal level, I said the best friend y'all could have, I imagine, would be Jeff Sessions, because in an even-handed application of enforcing the federal law, now that's over, but with that would have come enough cries of, hey, let's change something, that the legislature, who should be doing this in the first place, would do their job. I gotta imagine there's somewhat of a parallel here in immigration on both sides, that enforcing, like you said, in a uniform manner, whether you're somebody who wants to see that enforced or you want to change the law, at least President Trump has put the situation in where the legislature will be forced to do something.
Yeah, I mean, we would think, but you never know how much Congress can procrastinate and not deal with something. I'm still a little bit upset that I don't think that, you know, Congress had a real plan as to what to do in a lame duck. I mean, they've got funding legislation, they got farm bill, they potentially have immigration, criminal justice reform, and I'm wondering whether Republicans really get any major priorities done while they have the House and the Senate over the next month or so.
No way. You think there will not be anything significant done by the Republicans here before they're out of the leadership position?
I just don't see a real plan. You know, for example, we're talking another shutdown or not. Farm bill is certainly controversial and has some challenges. The criminal justice thing, you know, seems to enjoy broad bipartisan support, but you've got some folks like Mitch McConnell that, you know, may or may not bring it up for a vote in the Senate. So, yeah, maybe. I'd like to see it. I'm just not optimistic that the ducks were in a row heading into the midterms, and obviously when things went south for Republicans in the House, they didn't immediately have a, hey, here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it.
All right, what's your initial take here on the announcement from GM? Other than the fact, I know you'll be disappointed you will be not able to purchase a new Chevy Volt. I mean, what's your reaction to this?
GM's making business decisions, and, you know, people can say, well, we bailed them out.
We did that. Yeah.
That was a bad idea. You know, the whole, we're going to bail out the automotive industry.
Not everybody. Some players in the automotive industry.
Right. Yeah, the too big to fail type thing.
Yeah, but Ford didn't, but they're still around. Okay, I'm sorry.
Right, and I think that the issue here is you don't have a right to, you know, even though people would like to say, hey, private business, even if it's publicly traded, do something unprofitable because we want you to keep doing it. I know people feel like they should be able to do that. They feel that the government should be able to tell folks, if you're a conservative, that is not a thing that you believe.
So, but going forward, you know, the president, who is, I've argued with people before, is a conservative on some things and not on everything because he's a populist, but he's saying in so many terms, hey, GM, you better figure out something else for those, I think he said, quoting him, you need to figure out something else for those employees to make.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame Trump for saying that or saber-rattling or things like that. But, you know, it's interesting for me how he squares the tariffs and things like that with what's happening with GM, whether those are related, that sort of thing. But I do think that he's absolutely within his rights to kind of saber-rattle and try to even shame GM into reversing their decision or coming up with other options for folks.
There he is, Cameron Smith, AL.com. People want to reach out to you and say nice things. Nice things. So, where do they go?
You can find me at dcameronsmith on Twitter or at al.com/opinion.
All right. Medium nice. Kind of nice things.
Just medium not, nice.
Yeah, medium nice. There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it. We're coming right back. Second half of the hour. Lots to do on the show. I'm going to challenge something here. Facebook has popped up, you know, when we talked about this morning. Today is the day of giving, right? So you had Black Friday, you had Small Business Saturday, you had Buy a Case of Beer Sunday, whatever it was. Yesterday, Cyber Monday, it's Cyber Week. Giving Tuesday, which I think is the closest to what the spirit of the season is for Christmas, to give to others. But I thought it was interesting. The charities, you know, Facebook with their lean, the charities, they're talking about how much money that they've contributed as well as people have done on Giving Tuesday. I got a couple ideas of some charities that I wonder if you donated to Facebook, would they throw in their money too? Plus, Magic Christmas and Lights time coming up. We'll talk some Bellingrath in just a little bit. Y'all stay close. News is next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 137 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Remember this show and many others, 40 hours a week's worth of live local programming on our podcast page, which is just down the hall from the main page at fmtalk1065.com. When you go there, just click the link for podcast, and you can go a la carte and get the show, the hour of the show you're looking for. Or remember, you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or other platforms to have those shows delivered to your phone. All we ask is you give us a thumbs up or stars or with smiley face, whatever the rating system is on the platform you go to. Give us as many as possible. We do enjoy those and the comments there. We like that as well. Well, big thank you to Cameron Smith joining us. We're talking about a couple things here. Somebody had, saying I completely agree with Cameron Smith, you know, about the bailouts. And that's one of the questions now, too, that, and believe me, GM was not the only one, but at least I would agree with Cameron wholeheartedly, but I will also play devil's advocate for the fun of it. But I would agree that if you have a company like GM that has been bailed out, let me make a populist argument. Doesn't mean it's exactly what I believe, but I'd make this argument. If you have a company like GM that's been bailed out by we the people, American taxpayers, without any equity share, right? It's not like we bailed them out. And remember when they said they paid it off and it was actually interest on some of the debt? They didn't actually pay it off. So we bailed them out without any equity share there. Fair question is yes or no. Do the American people, in this case, Commander-in-Chief, President Trump, have any right to say, hey, maybe you ought to consider what we want as a country before you make your business decision? I don't like that. I mean, my personal stake is I would rather not bail them out and let private companies be private companies or public companies be public companies. But it's not that cut and dry. So that's, you know, that's part of the argument that's going to be bandied about here as this goes forward. 15% cut, pretty big for GM. All right. Also talking about the upcoming, which, by the way, before I say hello and have y'all say hello to my friend here, I want to say quit with it. I talked this morning about it. Do not say shopping days till Christmas. They're days. There's not specific shopping days. They are days till Christmas. I just heard it again and again today. We have X number of shopping days until Christmas. Why don't we just go with days until Christmas? And we can talk about this too, because Magic Christmas and Lights is a Christmas tradition, shopping day or non-shopping day, right here along the Gulf Coast, and hopefully getting some national attention as well. My friend Sally Erickson from Bellingrath Gardens joining us now. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Sean.
Shopping days.
Right.
Shopping days. I don't like you can't, like, what days are you not allowed to shop between now and Christmas? Pretty much all of them, right? You can shop?
Absolutely. Okay, so and any time of day.
That's right. And other than, what is it? Let's see if I remember this after all these years. Other than Christmas Day and maybe like New Year's Day, then you can see Magic Christmas and Lights.
That's right. We should really just talk about how many days there are left to see Magic Christmas and Lights.
There you go. These would be viewing days, not shopping days, for Magic Christmas and Lights, which is, you know, if you've grown up here, you've been here for a long time, it's part of the fabric of our community. You do that, go out and see the, how many lights?
3 million lights.
3 million lights that have been strung up starting back in
1995. This is our 23rd year.
And they start what time of year? September or something like that? Spring?
Right around Labor Day weekend, it takes about 8 or 9 weeks to put it up, and then it only takes about 2 or 3 weeks to take it down.
That's because you just rip them out. No, but they put the lights up, and this is part of traditions for so many families coming out to see it. But there are new people moving here all the time. There are people just moved here, and there are people maybe need to remember, hey, you know, I haven't taken the kids. I haven't taken mom. I haven't taken these family members to see this, and it's worth making this, you know, making this part of your family tradition again.
Absolutely. It's an entire experience. The lights come on at 5 o'clock every night, and it takes most people an hour and a half to walk through. And this year we've really enhanced a lot of aspects of the show. The main one being for people who've seen it before, you'll be really surprised when you come to the Great Lawn. Okay. That's where we have music and movement, and you will just want to stand there and watch the whole thing for about 10 minutes at least and watch it again. It's just amazing. It's going to knock your socks off.
Okay, wait. Now that's a good tease. So something is happening there at the Great Lawn that we have not seen before.
Right. The Great Lawn used to be a very pretty scene with a few Christmas trees, uh-huh. And now it's really been greatly enhanced, and so I'm hoping a lot of people who have been to Magic Christmas before will be pleasantly surprised and also will want to come back again and see this.
All right. So, and also tell us this. Can you give us like a little inside information? If we're going and want to avoid the biggest of the crowds. Like, right. What's the insider take here? If I'm going to get the family out and, you know, I've got little ones and all that, if I want to do that, what's the sweet spot?
Well, the first 3 weeks, really. That's okay. When we have light crowds because children are still in school. Mm-hmm. It's after school's out, all of a sudden we get huge crowds and long lines. Now, our cashiers are very good at moving people through quickly, but if you want to have a more relaxed experience, I recommend coming these first 3 weeks.
We know this is a local thing, but it's also a national thing. Heck, Bellingrath Gardens on so many levels has been written up in national publications and tourism and all that to come here. It's the gem of the gardening world here on the Gulf Coast. And you're actually, once again, competing for some national accolades. What's going on now with this contest?
Yes, this is a USA Today's contest to select the nation's best botanical garden holiday light display. So if you go to www.10best.com and look under the awards tab, okay. You can see the botanical garden competition button, and then you can find Magic Christmas and Lights there, and everyone can vote once a day. So I encourage all of our Magic Christmas and Lights fans out there to vote early and often. Mm-hmm. Because voting continues through 11 o'clock in the morning on December 10th. So we're really hoping we'll place in the top five or maybe even the top three because Magic Christmas and Lights is just so special.
And what kind of license plates do you see in the parking lot there? As you talk about, this is a national competition, but Bellingrath Gardens and Magic Christmas and Lights has been written up in national publications for a while. Do y'all see people travel, you know, from far-flung distances to come see this?
Oh, yeah. There are people who come from all different states. Usually when we do our tally at the end of the year, we'll see just about every single state. We're usually
really?
Missing maybe one. So
Hawaii
or sometimes Washington for okay. something. We always get a lot of people from Ohio. So it's great to see that so many people enjoy coming to visit the gardens.
All right. Let's also talk about as you come out, you said 5 o'clock, the lights go on. So you could get there at five. You can, give yourself about an hour and what?
Yeah, sure. A little over an hour or so. At the halfway point, we have hot cocoa, popcorn. You can listen to some concerts these first few weeks. The full schedule is on the website. Tonight, we have the Port City Tuba Euphonium Ensemble performing at 7 o'clock.
That's easy for you to say.
Right. And I was wondering what the verb would be, the collective noun for a large group of tubas. I don't know. Gaggle of tubas, maybe? It's a lot of tubas.
A skein of tubas. But it's a... Once again, it's the tuba and what is
Port
it?
City Tuba Euphonium Ensemble, and this is the first time they've come to perform at Bellingrath, so we're very excited to have them. They were supposed to come on Sunday night, and then it rained, so we rescheduled them. So
wait a second, tubas?
Tubas, lots of tubas.
Tubas doing Christmas music?
Right. It's going to be a very loud Christmassy concert, and it starts at 7 o'clock. So we're excited about that.
I'm digesting that here.
Right. I'm really enjoying all of our concerts. Our first few were last night, and then they continue on weeknights for the first 3 weeks. And the full schedule is on our website, bellingrath.org. And you were asking about insider tips for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like to order tickets online from our website, which is great. The ticket comes out with a date stamped on it, and I wanted to make sure everybody realizes that if you can't go on that date for whatever reason, mm-hmm. if your plans change, the ticket is still good for any night through December 31st.
Okay, even though it says, hey, it's December 7th or whatever, and you can't make
right.
it. Okay.
Yes, you can go any night. The only day we're closed is December 25th, as you mentioned. And we sell tickets till 9 o'clock. If there are still people standing in line at 9:15, we will continue to sell tickets until everyone gets in.
What about other things? That if somebody's coming out who's not been to the gardens before, Magic Christmas and Lights, obviously the star of the show. Right now, but I mean, can people still tour the home this time of year and do things?
Oh, yeah. The home is open all day long and through the evening hours, okay. And that is a guided tour. I highly recommend it because that's a chance to ask some questions and learn a lot about the Bell and Grass.
If you've never been in it, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, and it's decorated for Christmas. It looks really amazing, and there's a little toy under the Christmas tree that belonged to one of Walter Bell and Grass's great nephews, so that's really neat. He donated that to us a few years ago, so all kinds of interesting tidbits like that, and you can sign up for your home tour when you arrive in the admissions building.
Can you combo? That's what I'm saying. You come out and say, hey, yeah, we're going to do the tour of the home, and then the lights or the lights in the tour?
All you have to do is ask when you arrive, and somebody in the admissions building or the will call tent can give you advice about how you want to plan your evening. Also, be aware the cafeteria is open, serving hot evening meals from 4 to 8 p.m. every night. We also have Santa in the cafe every night for pictures from 5:30 to 9. So there's plenty to see and do.
Yeah, you're scheduling this out. So you can get the Santa pictures taken. You can do dinner, Santa pictures, tour the home, and do Magic Christmas and Lights.
Right. It's a full evening. It's a whole experience.
All right. I know it's just as easy as putting in the address here on your Google Maps. But if somebody says, I'm not using the Google Maps, explain to folks who have not been there how to find Bell and Grass Gardens.
Well, just go down I-10 till you see signs for Bell and Grass. It's exit 15A, and then you head down 90 until you see the big Bell and Grass billboard that says, turn here. I think our signage is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
And
good.
Just so people know, from downtown Mobile, it's about exactly 30 minutes. So okay. Plan out your trip that way. Also be aware we're open rain or shine. I know people don't like to come out in the rain, but nights when it's just a light drizzle, just bring a couple umbrellas. You can still have a wonderful experience, and you'll have more room to walk around because it's just a lighter night for us.
It'll run those weak-willed light viewers away, and only the strong will be able to enjoy 3 million lights.
Right, and they can take a lot of pictures, too. So
that's how I like it. And the Santa crowd will be slower and all that. So that's good. So I'm waiting for a rain night. Anything we're missing here? Anything you want to pass on the list?
Oh, Military Mondays.
Yes.
The four Mondays of December, we are offering a discount to any member of the military and families with a military ID. So I think that's a nice little benefit. Also, if you want to get a group together, group rates are available. That's a nice little discount.
What qualifies as a group, Sally?
20 people or more.
Okay.
So there's that collective noun again.
That's right.
A gaggle, a group.
What else could we have? What is the now I'm thinking about the funny names for collective. What is the weirdest
one? An ensemble.
An ensemble.
Right.
An ensemble of 20.
Ensemble of 20, that qualifies, and all we ask is that you call ahead of time and plan your group visit just so we can be ready for you. And be sure and check the website for the schedule of musical groups because we have a lot of local groups coming in.
It's not just always tubas.
It goes way beyond tubas, although I'm very excited about the tubas, if you can't tell. It's all these great musical groups, and a lot of them are from the high schools Mobile and Baldwin counties.
All right, Sally Erickson with Bell and Grass Magic Christmas and Lights. As always, thank you.
Thank you.
You come back and see me soon?
All right.
All right, because we've got lots to talk about, and we'll keep reminding y'all, Magic Christmas and Light. Seriously, and if you haven't been in a while, go back out and enjoy it. It was just down at Bell and Grath about a month ago, month and a half ago, and it's like every time you're like, wow, man, why don't we come out here more often? You should. Check it out. 150 FM Talk 106.5. We're back to wrap it up, and Feinbaum on the way at 2.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 155, FM Talk 106.5, and a few minutes here. Feinbaum's on the way. It's got just a little bit of football to talk about this time of year. Also on the list here, I guess I'll do this story. I don't want to encourage said behavior because it doesn't work out well for me. It's already been, I have been with children and pets. I've been moved further and further away from being an important fixture in our bed at home. But I see this story here. I guess I got to pass this along, but husbands out there, y'all, this is probably not good for us. A story from the website over at Fox 10 TV. They said, headline here, a new study out. Oh, we love new studies. Always a new study. And who is financing all the new studies? Maybe that's what Soros is doing with the money. He's not going to meddle in elections. He's going to finance new studies. Says the study reveals that women sleep better when they share their bed with dogs. Study says women who share their bed with dogs report less disturbed sleep and greater feelings of security and comfort, according to a study published this month in the Journal of International Society for Anthrozoology. Not anthropology, but anthrozoology. It's like so old animals, right? Researchers found that women who sleep with cats did not show those benefits. It's of course, because they're trying to steal your breath, ladies, and reported disrupted sleep as much as women who share a bed with a human partner. Well, wait a second. So, okay, so the study shows that, us and cats disrupt the women's sleep is at the same level. You know, it's not true, because when we go to bed, we go to bed. You know, when the cat lays down, the cat's job, if I remember correctly from decades ago when I may or may not have been in homes where women had cats, the cat's jobs would be to attack you. Like you wouldn't dare move your foot under the covers or something like that, because then it would lead to the immediate pounce. But back to this very, very important study. The correlation between better sleep with dogs is based on the self-reported data that has not been confirmed using an objective measure. Nothing is these days. Dog owners also tend to go to sleep and wake up earlier than cat owners because they're not attacked all night is why. The dogs are so happy that they're inside and on someone's bed, that they're with the humans in the human bed. They're not going to mess that up. The cat is pretty sure that when the lights are turned off, it's time to attack. There it is. So there's the study out, ladies, that y'all are better off with the dog in the bed than a man or a cat. It's not looking good for me. Not looking good. I'm going to have to get... Do you think it would be bad if I... One of those Eno hammocks in my room? You think, you know, if I... So the wife and the dogs, at least some of the dogs, two-thirds of our dogs could be in the bed. The other one, they're probably not invited to the bed. Two-thirds of the dogs in the bed with the wife, and I will be over, kind of like the captain in Gilligan, in a hammock over in the corner. The Enos are nice, right? They're fancy. The kids are into the... And get one of my old, like a Pawley's Island hammock or something, and put that up in the corner of the room. That's where I'll sleep. I'll sleep over there with the other dog, and then let all the good sleeping go on there in the bed. All right. There it is. There's, Jace, I don't know why they call us dogs. No, I think that they call us other things. Dogs is I think they're using dogs in a complimentary fashion here, not the other. So find yourself a hammock and get ready for your wife to have a better night's sleep. 158 FM Talk 106.5 Fine Bomb is next. See y'all mañana for Mobile Mornings. We start at 6. Remember, online streaming fmtalk1065.com. Tune in radio app lets you take us with you on your smartphone. Free download, Android, iPhone. It's a great app. Just get the regular version. Works great. Y'all check it out. Tune in radio. All right, Fine Bomb. He does his thing in just 1 minute.